Okay, it's good to be here tonight. I come to you with a burdened heart. We want everything to be done tonight for the glory of God and to honor Him. Before we get started, I want to rehash something very quickly with Sister Kathy Cofield. Just to review very briefly what we covered last time. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 31, I will read. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We just read this section that we've entitled The Truth of God Distorted. The last time we were together, which was a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with verse number 25, and we featured Sister Kathy Cofield in our study as she assisted us in commentary concerning this verse. And that said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, in simple review, sister, I'm going to ask you one simple question. It was the same question we asked you last time. So we hope you remember the answer this time. There's a specific truth that was exchanged here. What was that truth? Who God was. You gave the same answer this time. All right, that's correct. But Paul is labeling a specific truth here. Brother Archie, what was that specific truth? Brother Mark, that's correct. Do you remember that? Remember that, ladies and gentlemen? His eternal power, Godhead. How do we know he's talking about this? Because in verse 18 it says they suppressed the truth. So whatever truth he's talking about is somewhere in between verse 18 and verse 25. And the truth revealed was the eternal power and Godhead of God. Okay? That is what they exchanged. Now this is where I want to tie up a loose end. The minute they created an image, they attacked the eternal nature of God. And they worshiped something that was finite instead of worshiping that Him who is infinite. They worshiped that which was created, not the Creator. They worshiped Him that was invisible and made an image out of it. Everything about God was exchanged for a lie. And in the grammatical sense here, the lie. Okay? So I wanted you to see in what manner the truth of God mentioned in verse 20 was exchanged. Okay? They had attacked and exchanged every attribute of God found in Scripture for a lie. And they were specific in those attributes. All right? Now, we are going to deal with verses 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Now to assist us with this task is Brother Barney. Some people are just a glutton for punishment. And he volunteered to do this. He comes up to me and he says, has anybody asked for verses 26 and 27? I said, no, sir. He says, can I have those two? He says, we may have to break it up into two sessions. I says, well, I hope not. We need to get this covered. So, Brother Barney,
I changed my mind.
It's too late to change your mind. Brother Barney, you may proceed, sir.
All right, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. That's the one clause.
Okay.
The second clause is for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature.
Okay.
And what kind of stood out for this cause kind of stood out a little bit to me to start with, because they was determined to do as they pleased, not what God did. And we can see that from verses 21 to 25. And Paul speaks here because what is seen is of the women and the men is unnatural. And Paul speaks of unnatural consequences which flow from unnatural acts.
Okay.
We see in Galatians 6 and 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also to his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life eternal, everlasting. And so the more wicked the act of sowing, the more wicked the consequences is reaped.
Right.
And even though no matter how vile a person might be or what they might do, they're not still past the forgiveness of God. They can be forgiven.
Right.
And since the beginning of time, man has been trying to get rid of God. Romans 1, 24 to 32. And we see that where that God's sometimes just giving people what they want. He said in verse 24, he gave them up. Verse 26, he gave them up. Verse 28, he gave them over. And so they are abandoned by God to immorality.
Okay.
And this sin, this natural, also it means to produce by nature. It means scenery has natural beauty. It's natural for a dog to bark. And then also for this cause, it's the same, that's the same Greek term used in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, where he said, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie."
Right.
And 1 Corinthians 4:17, also the same one, is says, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall be in you unto remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." And then he shall, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 11, or a second, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, they will believe a lie. And what is that lie? It's the Satan is the liar. And of course, he's the Lord Jesus said he's the father, liar and the father of it.
Right.
And he has deceived many. But the one lie that from the beginning is that when he has led many people astray is what Satan said to Eve.
Right.
That ye shall be as gods.
That's exactly right.
And the lie is the idea that man has his own God. Man is his own God. And so therefore he can do as he pleases. And can better himself by his own human efforts. And that's described again in Romans 1:18. And again in verse 25, who exchanged, Sister Kathy mentioned that last time on her, for the word change, where it exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And so he also, because they was this cause, as we already said, they were determined to do as they pleased. They were, verse 21, they were unthankful. Verse 22, they professed themselves to be wise. Verse 23, they changed the glory of God into an image. Verse 24, they dishonored their own bodies. In verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And verse 24, the lust of their own hearts. And that's where the problem is, was then and even is today, is in the heart. The foo, Psalm 14:1, the foo has said in his heart that there is no God. And those that dishonor God were given up to dishonor themselves. And they gave them up to, verse 24, they gave them up to uncleanness. And their natural and normal appetites of the body.
Is that where you are? You trying to define for me now what vile affections is?
The
in verse 25. Excuse me, 26.
Just about to get.
Okay, this. Go ahead.
And so, what it was described here is the unnatural appetites, in which all normal instincts are left behind and thrown out the window, so to speak.
Okay, very good.
And Paul said it's against nature. And so the word vile, it means disgrace, dishonor, shame, immoral. It means disgusting. The word affection, that which is not natural behavior, it's an affection of the mind.
Okay.
And changed, of course, is exchange. That means to take one thing and return for another.
Right.
And God gave them up. That kind of stood out to me also, that God's the one that gave them up. And in a way of righteous judgment at the punishment of their own idolatry.
Right.
And taking off the restraints of grace, leaving them to themselves, and just leaving them alone.
Okay.
And saying, you know, this is what you want, this is what you can have.
Yes, sir.
And it's not, God has, in, I think, even in other times, maybe even in times we've seen where God has give people up, they've, the number of times that, well, Jude 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Right.
And the number of times from verses 19 to verses 32, there's a number of times that the word them, they, themselves, and there are mentioned.
That's good.
And
that's a good word, brother. Go ahead.
Then in verse 27, it says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And I think there's five clauses in this one.
That's right. Go ahead.
And likewise, the men, and likewise also the men, is one. Leaving the natural use of the woman was another. Burning in their own, burning in their lust one for toward another. Men with men working that which was unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat.
Well, let me also add, as a result of those five clauses, ladies and gentlemen, there are five main verbs describing this action. You may continue, sir.
And likewise, that means to go and do the same.
Right.
Likewise, also the men, and also being given up by God.
That's exactly right.
They forgot not only the holy relations of marriage, but leaving the natural use of the women, and burning in their lust one toward another. Burn, that means to feel hot, to flame, to ignite. It means unnatural lust. It means kindle. It means consume.
That's exactly right.
And so it's one thing to lust, and it's one thing to burn.
That's exactly right.
But
keep
to
on.
Put these together is something unusual.
Amen.
And so the men working that which is unseemly. Unseemly means shame, uncomely, indecency. And so we see that they also in this verse, the lustful passion of the men. We can see the connection between from verses 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And then skip down to verse again. It's like these two verses are sandwiched in between 25 and 28. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so the truth is distorted.
Right.
And we also can, in verses, from verses 29 to 31, they were filled with. And verses 24 and following, the Sodomites were bold. They didn't mind who knew what they were doing. They were proud of what they were doing. And no matter what God said, no matter what God thought, and even that's the same today. I mean, we can look around and we see it's a in-your-face thing today.
Right.
And so
what is meant by the phrase on the tail end of verse 27, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet? Go ahead. Can you bring that out to us?
Now that one, I kind of, let's see, I had some notes on.
I'm asking you to skip through some stuff, but you're hitting all the main points. You're on target, so you're not off track.
Recompense is the word refers here to that which is unseemly, in that it was immodest, shameful. Recompense is a reward given in compensation, recompense. And so the word here refers to that natural result of their sin, which pays them back for what they have done. As a person says who contemplates doing something wrong, "I suppose I shall pay this for this," was meat. That's
okay. All right. Is 100%. There any final thoughts you want to share with us, sir?
I saw the truth was distorted and they were the same. And there was another word that's kind of, they also should also in verse number 27 was a word that kind of once again kind of stood out, and it's the same Greek word that is used in Acts 5 verses 1 and 2, where Ananias and Sapphira were lied to Peter and about the land that they sold, and they lied not knowing, they knowing what they were doing, they lied, and they were struck dead. And then also in Luke 12:34, "For where your treasures are, there your heart shall be also."
Okay, good. What word was that where they lied that you're saying was the same Greek word? What word was that?
Also, I was looking at, I think, also.
Okay. I don't see that here in this text.
Let me see. I'd have to go back and see which word it was.
I was wondering if it was their error, receiving in themselves a recompense of the error. Is that the word error you're referring to? Just out of curiosity.
The fact, I think, is just the fact that they lied.
Okay.
That's what I was getting at.
All right. All right, I'm going to take off from here. Now, Brother Barney, you did a superb job here, okay? And you gave us some word studies. You broke down the clauses. You explained it very, very, very well, okay? You ought to be commended, sir, for what you've done. And I'm very proud of you, okay? Thank you so much. Now, what I want to do, go ahead, sir. All right, go ahead, Brother Ron. He wants to add something to clarify the term recompense. Go ahead. Okay, that's correct. And I read that same comment myself. So you are absolutely right. Okay, and we're going to be addressing that. There's two main views there of that text. And that is, number one, there are some who believe that those who are involved in these acts of immorality were actually prostitutes being paid accordingly for their services. In other words, they were receiving wages in themselves for the services rendered. Okay? There's a direct reference there for temple prostitutes. Both male and female prostitutes were used. The second opinion is, as he just described, the fact that homosexuality and lesbianism itself is a form of judgment by God upon sin. And also, thirdly, as Moog pointed out, based on Brother Ron said, it's also a depiction of the guaranteed judgment yet to come. So those are your three scenarios. So I want to go into this because I think there's something here that needs to be covered that you're not going to hear just anywhere else. And so I do not believe verse number 26 is exclusively a reference to lesbianism. And I'm going to break this down for you. So when we compare verse 26 with verse 24, it is important to note that the word lust in verse 24, epithemia, carries with it the idea of a longing or a desiring to have someone or something. It is a reference to the initial kindling of the passions and the first movings of the flesh, which are oftentimes sparked by temptation within or without the soul. As a result, the heart begins to muse and fantasize, giving birth to what the Scripture calls in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, using the same word for vile affections, the same Greek word translated vile affections in our text, is translated inordinate affections in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. So when you combine the expressions found in Colossians 3, 5 with that of our text in this verse, it can be concluded that these people were turned over to not only just vile affections, but to also vile, inordinate affections. Inordinate affection is therefore, quote, if you do a Google search, this is what you will find. It is an unsound or obsessive attachment to a person or thing which manifests uncontrollable love. The idea here is that these individuals had an uncontrollable appetite for sexual relationships and experiences that were to be considered so unnatural and perverted that they are described as vile. Ladies and gentlemen, two lesbians and two homosexuals can have a genuine love and passion for one another or others. It is not fake. They can actually fall in love with that person in a sexual way. But the problem here is that these unnatural passions and affections are biblically called vile. When something is said to be vile, Brother Bonnie, you hit it right on the head. It is shameful, dishonorable, reproachable. In other words, as Brother Barney said, it is to be considered to be despicable, disgusting, repulsive. These passions are considered to be vile not because the participants see it as such. They do not recognize it as such. It is vile because God has declared it to be so. Those that live in filth are not conscious of it. So don't expect your flesh to revolt against everything that God has declared to be vile. There are some saints of God who brag about how sensitive they are to the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, when I get out of line, God smites my heart. Are you such an authority of your heart you can be so confident that you cannot be deceived? Are you such an authority of the Spirit of God that you cannot be deceived? You better thank God that your salvation and your status before Him doesn't rest on how sensitive to you concerning sin and the Spirit. It rests on the atoning blood of Christ and Christ alone. And that's because
God knows how wicked we are. And He made provisions for it by the precious blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God for the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have here in this phrase, God gave them up unto vile affections. And this phrase, ladies and gentlemen, has three important functions. First, it defines in further detail what is meant by God giving them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, in verse number 24, indicating as a reminder that these vile affections, as you said, Brother Barney, and as Brother Todd said, originated within themselves. Number two, just as the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls are progressional descriptions of the same judgments of God found in the book of Revelation, so also are verses 24, 26, and 28, the seals, the trumpets, and bowls of the progressive judgments of wrath mentioned in verse 18. When God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, He did so. How did He do that? By giving them up unto vile affections, which resulted in the dishonoring of their bodies, in a manner further detailed in these two verses in question, making the two events in verses 24 and 26 one and the same. Verse 26 explaining the former. Lastly, the manifestation of these vile affections became apparent when both genders altered their natural use of the woman by the employment of other means of sexual satisfaction. Note what it says here. Brother Barney, you asked me a question earlier about who was the they here in verse 26. Well, it's the man. Because you know that by this phrase, for even their women did change the use into that which is against nature. So when it says here, for this cause God gave them up, men as a whole, mankind as a whole, were given up. How do you know God gave them up? Because look how wicked the women were. This refers to the women numbered among those men who God gave up in the previous clause. Jawaharlal Nehru, the first Prime Minister of India, once said, quote, "You can tell the condition of a nation by looking at the status of its women." In this case, Paul now does the same thing. Through the gift of inspiration, Paul assesses the condition of the antediluvian race by examining the state of its women and its current status. The turning over of the human race to the lust of their own hearts in verse 24 and their vile affections in verse 26 was so comprehensive that even the women were affected and became just as predatorial as the men were. Historically speaking, women have always had some form of restraining and a tempering effect upon the men to keep both their passions and civility in check. Women are the ones that are the guide at the home. And they are the ones used to sanctify their households, especially the children. We saw that in Scripture. Titus 2:5, 1 Corinthians 7:14. They are the ones to tend to soften and make reasonable the brutishness of men. Yet this was not the case with these women. Instead, they themselves became so corrupted that they not only dishonored their own bodies for their own sensual pleasures, but they did so in order to further accommodate the men in their own pursuit of vile affections. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did
did change the natural use into that which is against nature. This phrase, changing the natural use into that which is against nature, is a phrase that's going to get dicey. The problem here is whether this statement is a reference to cultural differences between social groups, the natural use of their bodies, or is it a reference to natural relationships? In other words, is Paul saying that a lifestyle is right or wrong based on whatever culture is in place in that particular society or individuals? In other words, it's just a matter of opinion. If it's wrong in your culture, then it's wrong. If it's not wrong in your culture, then it's okay. And there are people who are justifying their lifestyles on that line of reasoning. Paul's use of the same Greek word to address long hair for men in 1 Corinthians 11, uncircumcision, Romans 2, being born a Jew, Galatians 2:15, or the grafting of the Gentiles in Romans 11 is often cited to endorse such a position. A common opinion that's often stated is that this is simply a narrow reference targeting lesbianism. And that's the general consensus. That this verse, all it's saying is it's condemning lesbianism. That's not what it's saying. That interpretation is far too narrow than what Paul intends to say. If you take that approach, then you open the door up of it being condoned. For example, a common opinion states that this is simply a narrow reference targeting lesbianism, while others declare that this reference is strictly addressing the use of their physical bodies without any intention of including lesbianism. Which, once coupled with without a direct reference to lesbianism in the Old Testament or elsewhere, this leaves the door wide open to lesbianism to be condoned. In other words, there are those who say that since this is not a direct reference to lesbianism in verse 26, and since it is not directly addressed in the Old Testament, especially underneath the Old Testament law, then it leaves the door wide open for it to be condoned. I disagree with that. And I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. Therefore, how one defines these two terms, natural use and against nature, is imperative to understanding the full weight of Paul's statement here. The women exchanged their natural use as a result of their own vile affections. The women literally exchanged their natural use for something else. The thing exchanged and the thing exchanged for are not identified. Okay? Doesn't tell us what they are. This verse does not say that these women left the men, as many have suggested, that the men have done in verse 27. The Greek word for natural use is the word krisis. And though it is only used in these two particular verses of the New Testament, it is never used grammatically to indicate relationships, like having a lesbian relationship. It's never used that way. Strong's Concordance defines this term as, quote, sexual intercourse, end quote. Therefore, the King James Version translation of this word as natural use is the correct translation as opposed to relationships that are natural, which indicates that Paul is not initially and directly targeting lesbianism. But instead, Paul is targeting the main root cause of all sexual perversion, which is the departure of the natural use of a woman's physical bodies. The natural use of the woman is, therefore, a reference to that natural sexual intercourse which originated and was designed by the creative act of God in Genesis.
I know I'm on target because our brother sung a song tonight and he addressed this very thing. The blessing of God, quote, to be fruitful and multiply is unique from one species to the next. Read it for yourself. Genesis chapter 1, verses 22, 27, and 28. The intercourse ordained by God for humans was different in manner and design than that represented in the animal kingdom. There is a knowing, and there is an intimacy manifested through this unique physical union that takes place within a proper biblical marital setting that is not experienced throughout the animal kingdom. God wasn't just blessing the animals and the humans to be fruitful and multiply. He was blessing the manner in which it was to be done. You fill in the blanks. That's important because that's according to God's creative design. It's according to nature. Vile affections break down and destroy the distinction that exists between the natural and proper physical union that takes place between a man and a woman and that of animals. Peter calls the wicked in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, natural brute beasts. That was to address their appetites. This distinction and manner was established by the blessing of God found in the very first chapter of Genesis. Note the phrase, against nature, into that which is against nature. Being that this scripture does not say that the women exchanged the use of the men for the use of the women, we're reading that in there. Okay? As the next verse states in reverse, it does say that the men left the natural use of the women. But it's not saying what we're saying it is. Therefore, in this particular case, these women exchanged that natural intercourse that was designed and blessed by God as their creator for that sexual intercourse that was against nature. And this implies two things. First, it implies that these women were so carried away with their vile affections that they willingly used their own bodies to experience every form of pleasure that resulted from a union with anything that was against nature, regardless as to what species was involved. Men, women, animals. Do you see how broad that is? It included everything. They made themselves available, not just to women, everything. Paul's emphasis here then was never meant to suggest that these women exchanged the natural use of their bodies for just the pursuit of other women. Such a view is too narrow. Secondly, Paul is clearly exposing and condemning any and all violations of a woman's body that deviates from its original intent and design. Now you
know why I came in here with such a heavy heart. I don't want to have to deal with this, but Paul deals with it. I have to deal with it as clean and as kosher as I can. Unnatural intercourse, therefore, can take place with or without a relationship. Therefore, the description given here by Paul is given to cover all acts of uncleanness, including that of lesbianism. And just because lesbianism is not mentioned in the Ten Commandments or anywhere else in the Old Testament does not mean that it was not covered by the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Being that the term fornication was introduced later in the Scriptures and only used four times in the Old Testament, it does not suggest for a moment that God condoned the sin of lesbianism. A number of sexual transgressions,
including homosexuality and bestiality, are enumerated and explained throughout the rest of Pentateuch. And this is done to categorize those various sins as being an extension of that first and one simple commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. It all starts with the failure of the home. Lesbianism and homosexuality and bestiality started with divorce and remarriage. When we lost that battle, we lost it all. And yet we'll condone our children and our grandchildren and the direction they're going. That's what started this mess. That's why God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Because you start there, it leads to everything else. Which suggests that any sexual activity, apart from the holy matrimony that takes place between one man and one woman, is prohibited. As such, Paul is doing likewise here in our text. Let it be understood tonight from this pulpit that both the language of the Old Testament and that of the Apostle in verse 26 condemns lesbianism as well as all other unnatural violations of a woman's body. Note the phrase here. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Paul is not saying here that these men had no sexual experiences with women. It's not what he's saying. Such unions took place when the occasions presented themselves, or they did so to fulfill the task of natural propagation. Women were, however, not these men's first and preferred choice. Go to Judges 19, and there's a Levite there with his wife trying to get through the countryside. And he's sitting in the streets, he's taken into some man's house, and the Benjamites come to town and they want to know him. And it's clear in the text that these men were homosexuals and they wanted to physically violate and abuse the man. The man at the house who was entertaining them presented him his wife and daughters and he didn't want them. Oh, the man that was in question presents them his wife. And there was just something about her they liked that would satisfy their desires. And they took her and abused her all the night. She was so beaten externally and internally, she died at the doorsteps. This idea that a man can be homosexual or a woman can be lesbian and be straight is not necessarily the case. They can go either way, baby, but they got their preferences. Is that too straight? That's the reality of this situation. In addition, men and women can both be involved in the unnatural practices just described while living in a heterosexual marriage situation. That person's gay. No, they're not. They're married to a wife. It doesn't matter. They may be legally married, have a marriage band, but they prefer the same sex as far as the relationships are concerned. Get your head out of the sand. The natural use of the woman that's abandoned by the men in this verse must be defined the same way as it is in verse 26. The implication Paul's making in connection with these two verses is that the women willingly exchange a natural intercourse with men for an intercourse with men that was not natural. The vile passions of the women
accommodated the same vile passions of the men in their pursuit of homosexuality. They became accessory to the crime. And they did so by presenting their own bodies to be used in such a way that the same lewd acts that the men were performing between themselves would also be performed with the women. Fill in the blanks. I cannot go any further than that. What is meant, therefore, in this verse is that the men left the natural use of the women. Not the women themselves, but their natural use. As their preferred choice was the sodomizing of men and women both. Daniel Craig, the actor that starred in the recent James Bond movies, a fine actor at that, a tremendous actor, in two interviews, both of which are separate, he made this statement. He can remember being in gay bars as long as he can remember in his youth. And he said in another interview that he thought that men's attitude towards women was despicable. He tried to elevate the status of men and put them on an equal footing and put them in a place of strength and role. You know what he's saying there? He's renouncing their natural use to be treated like a man instead of a woman. And all the fantasies and the lies we're being told that's available for those who partake of it, they're nothing but lies. It's not a promotion for women. It's a demoralization. It's a debauchery. These women did these things to not only satisfy their own desires, but also accommodate those of the men as well. Men, what have we done to our women? Talking on CD. Maybe there's some truck driver out there. Ladies, what have you done to yourselves? Some women do such things to satisfy their own appetites. Others do what they think they have to do just to spend half of their monies to salve their own conscience through their narcotics, which are readily available on the very sets on which they're performing. Once they make their dollar on film, the drugs are sitting right there. And out of disgust, out of a sense of filth, they grab their paycheck and whatever narcotics are there and they go home, hating everything they just did. Other women are willing to degrade themselves in prostitution to take care of their babies, thinking all along the while that I'm going to be a lady someday, though I don't know when or how. A statement made by Reba McEntire in her song, Fancy, which endorsed the use of young children, girls, to be involved in prostitution. You do whatever you have to do to make a buck and survive. Yet others do so not because they enjoy these things or these practices, but because they just want to please men. Some women just want to be desired to experience some kind of love and attention, to feel pretty again. Yet all they experience is abuse and shame. What women have gone through just to please men? They will degrade themselves and the horrors of sin just so they can please some guy that can give a rip about them. And this alone is enough of a reason for women to hate men. After all, ladies, men are just men, right? What other course they have then? Lesbianism,
Why would you want to have a sexual relationship with a man, understanding what he's capable of doing to you, where you can give some kind of a love and attention from somebody who won't necessarily do that to you? There's only one problem with that. The abuse doesn't stop there just because there's two women. There's usually a man figure involved and they take over. And this is the truth. In contrast, it is important to note that the bodies of the husband and the wife belong to each other and are meant to be enjoyed as designed by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Thank God that biblical marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. As such, it is a place by which God can, it is a place by which God has given us so that we can enjoy someone that we love and care about, and we can caress them and enjoy them in a decent and wholesome manner. Ladies and gentlemen, your spouse is either a son of God or a daughter of God, and it would behoove you to treat them rightly in an honorable fashion. The marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but you have no right to impose your will on your wife or your husband in a manner in which is degrading. It says here they burned in their lust one towards another. And Brother Bonnie, you did such a fine job. I'm not going to comment on anything else as this. Men with men, that which is unseemly, he's specifying a specific gender here, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. In other words, in the context of what we've just said, that this was all part of the revelation of the just wrath of God, this sin is God's punishment for idolatry. And they're receiving it in themselves. They disfigured and dishonored the image of God. He now cuts them loose so that they could do the same to themselves. You say, preacher, what can I do? I've got to do something to survive. I'm in a lifestyle that I can't get out. There's a man, a perfect man, ladies, who will love you and cherish you and honor you and bless you and be your strength and guide and comforter. He has given his life for you. He will continue to give his life for you. He will be faithful. He will never ask you to be degrading in any way. And his name is Jesus Christ. Seek him. Seek the one who ordained marriage. Seek the one who created the home. Seek him who made you. He's the perfect man. He's the lover of your soul. Seek Christ. See if he won't do for you and rescue you from the depths of sin. Now I ask you tonight, do you feel dirty? You don't know what my background is. How do you think I can talk to you about this in detail? And I don't know what your background is. But I know one thing. I don't feel dirty and you don't feel dirty because of the Word. The law of God is holy, just, and good. It has done its job tonight if you feel dirty. But there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And when sinners cleanse themselves in that blood, they're washed from all their filthy stains. And a lot of our homes would have survived had we done treated our wives with a little respect and honor. Some of us may need to go home and apologize to our wives for what we've done. And apologize to our husbands and our children. Well, you either do that now, get it out of the way,
Well, you're going to do it at the judgment seat of Christ. I told you, Pastor, we had to be careful how we handle this. I did the best I could to lay this out to you in a decent manner. But this is Paul's intention. He's addressing the root cause of all immorality. I don't know if we need an altar call or not. I know one thing. If I've been impressed to do so, I'd find me a corner by myself where I could bleed before God and no one else can hear what I've got to say. Pastor Tommy, that's all I got. You're at liberty to close.